found some interesting information, and I was going to welcome back friends. Sarah found some interesting information to add to James and Our Lady.
Yeah, I hadn't realized that this early apparition is really Our Lady of the Pillar or Our Lady of Pilar, because I didn't really know much about that particular story. But tradition has it that St. James actually received this information, this apparition, when Our Blessed Mother was still living, and that this would have been an instance of her ability to bilocate. And we do know that other saints have also had this as a particular gift of grace. I think Padre Pio was known to bilocate among other people. But it says that she brought a statue of herself. She was on a statue, a pillar of jasper stone that was being held up by angels. And she carried with her a statue of herself carrying a Christ child to give to St. James. And it says she gave the pillar and the statue to St. James and asked that a church be built on the spot in her honor, using the two items for the altar. This place is to be my house, and this image in the column shall be the title and the altar of the temple that you shall build. And the people of this land will honor greatly my son Jesus. And then it said, after asking for the church to be built, she gave another promise, that it will stand from that moment until the end of time, in order that God may work miracles and wonders through my intercession for all those who place themselves under my patronage. So, very interesting. So he built this chapel in Spain, Zaragoza, and it became the first known Marian shrine in history. So I hadn't realized that. And it says the statue and the pillar have been preserved in the basilica just as they were given to St. James almost 2,000 years ago. So on this website that I sent to you, apparently there's an image of Our Lady of Pilar. Okay, well, now that, did you know that?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. Yes, here it is. On page 692, I did not read as attentively as I should have. Mm-hmm. Yes, he brought, he brought the chapel or small temple of the pillar in Zaragoza. Mm-hmm. Is it in Zaragoza?
It is Zaragoza. Mm-hmm.
And that the apparition of the queen appeared to him there with Our Lady of Pilar. But you actually bring it out more clearly than what Venerable Mary of Agreda does. She also will accompany St. James to his martyrdom.
Right. How beautiful is that?
That is beautiful. And I think that's what this book is highlighting. But Pilar is actually, you're right, it's a bilocation. Okay.
Because they were saying that he was so disheartened because he did not appear to be making any converts.
Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, and you see even there, right from the very beginning, instruction and hope.
That's exactly right.
I think is probably what we'll see predominantly. You know, I mean, obviously sometimes she comes to chastise us as any other good mother would do.
But it is. That's correct. And miracles and faith attended to the oratory being built. And certainly as he was going to his execution, miracles of healing and conversions were experienced. That's right. Yes. So
it says, yeah, it's interesting because it says in the same vision, Our Lady also recalled St. James to Jerusalem, where he met his martyrdom in 44 AD. His remains were taken by his followers back to Compostela, where a chapel was built in his honor, which of course becomes now Santiago of Compostela, right?
Yes.
Beautiful. I hadn't realized that it was so, I mean, I knew that it was old. I did not realize that it was still in apostolic times that Our Lady first began these apparitions.
Correct. And we're going to see something else, but as you were, the ancientness of Our Lady appearing, at mm-hmm. least in terms of Fatima. So there was a prequel to the Fatima apparitions that occurred in 1147 mm-hmm. AD, then 1385 AD, and then finally the one that perhaps we're most familiar with, 1917. Right. In the 12th century, the world was starting to break up. The unity of state and religion, scientific knowledge and theology, and most sinister of all, it was the era of controversial popes,
right,
which really knocked the church to her foundations. In 1147, in the vicinity of Fatima, the Santorum Castle was occupied by the Moors. St. Michael encouraged the Christian knights, and they prevailed in expelling the Moors. On this same day, a siege in Lisbon began against the Moors, which ended in victory for the knights. On August the 13th in Lisbon, the first miracle of the sun occurred over the besieged city. And I have a notation here. For anyone who wants to understand the eviction of the Moors from Spain, I direct them always to Warren Carroll's Isabel of Spain, the Catholic Queen. It is the longest recorded conflict in human history, about 700 years.
Right.
So when we wade into Muslim history and conflict and crusades and all of that, it's easy to lose one's bearing if we really don't keep a grasp of certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Then in 1385, on August the 13th, same day, an army under the command of Saint Nuno Alvarez Pereira, also known as Saint Nuno of Saint Mary, halted for a rest near the church in the village of Sica. As the knights rested before the imminent battle, now this time it's not the Moors, it's the Castilians, as supreme commander of Portugal, Saint Nuno begged the Blessed Virgin Mary throughout the night for the grace of victory. The next day, the army marched through what is now Fatima. As the soldiers passed through the village, they heard angels singing high up in the sky and saw Saint Michael, the archangel, in front of them, sword raised as a sign of victory. The apparition began when Saint Nuno later was riding through a valley called Cova de Aria. And if we remember, that's where Our Lady appeared. He jumped off his horse, fell to his knees. Then, divinely inspired, he called out the ground on which he was kneeling was sacred. It was precisely there that the Fatima children would meet the Mother of God. So, 1385. So that's to some prophecies, And I know we all like prophecies that come quickly, they tie up in a bow, and everything's just great. I like them as much as the next person. But oftentimes, prophecies take centuries to unfold. So, after the death of his wife, Nuno's at 27, he chose a life of celibacy, and at the age of 63, he entered the Carmelite monastery in Lisbon. As a lay brother, eschewing his military honors and the prestige of being respected by the nobility. So here's the interesting, and another interesting part about Nuno. He was born illegitimate. His parents never married. And his father, so listen to the corruption of the church going on. Listen, his parents never married. His father was a professed brother. And this professed brother had 32 illegitimate children. And a year after his birth, by royal decree, he was legitimized. And that, so if you're illegitimate at that time, you couldn't receive an education. But by royal decree, he was legitimized. Don't ask me how. And that allowed him to receive a knightly education. And his grandfather happened to be the 97th Archbishop of Braga. He was beatified by Benedict the 15th in 1918, and he was canonized by Benedict the 16th in 2009. Nuno, Saint Nuno, Nuno of St. Mary. His given name, St. Nuno Alvarez Pirari, but he's also known as St. Nuno of St. Mary. So because of his coming, you know, the church is in tremendous disarray. He himself, you know, sometimes one could think, you know, there's too much going against me. I mean, he had a lot there. I think the fact that both Benedict the 15th and Benedict the 16th is involved with his canonization is a factor. I think that this was a prequel to Fatima, which is the second largest spiritual encounter, you know, first after the Red Sea, but second, Red Sea first, Fatima would be second in terms of people. I don't mean in terms of prominence, that's always the resurrection.
Yeah, I had never heard of that.
No. All right.
Even that is very. Go ahead. I was just going to say, even that seems so very appropriate, and very, you know, compassionate of her. These, you know, preparing people, preparing the site for her miracle is seems apropos.
It does. There's so much. I thought. Was very gracious. It's very gracious. All right, my friends, we're going to take up a visitation of Our Lady in Nigeria in the next episode. Till then, fides, Irachio.